This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning!
Good morning! Good morning! Woo. Wake up, mister!
What's up, DeAnchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us at a fine Friday. It is a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. We will read through those coming up here on the show in approximately 40 minutes from now. So simply tweet at me that information, where you're at, how you're listening, what you're doing, by simply tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Or on Facebook, the meme is up as well, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Also, Solomon Wilcott is going to join us here on the show. Solomon will drop on by in about 20 minutes from now. We'll talk about the offseason and the quarterback carousel and how guys stack up statistically in Pro Football Focus, the use of stats, advanced stats. He's part of Pro Football Focus. Always enjoy our conversations with Solomon. We began the morning talking about David Ortiz and the idiotic comment that Mike Fiers is a snitch, which ultimately is the dumbest criticism ever. Because the only guys that don't want Mike Fiers to have spoken are the guys that are unaffected by the cheating. It's easy to say don't snitch when you're not the team that got cheated on. My guess is while the Yankees, the Dodgers, and other teams that the Astros beat in 2017 are hot at the Astros, at least Mike Fiers spoke up so that there was some type of punishment or some type of exposure of the cheating. But as I said, if a band of thieves breaks into your home and steals all your possessions, if somebody robs your car, steals your car, takes it, you're not at that point going, man, there's a code out there and I hope nobody snitches because I don't want to know where my stuff is. I hope nobody breaks. You know, nobody that has had their stuff broken into, stolen, had something happen to them, has the authorities say, hey, we got three guys. We're questioning them right now. We'll let you know what they say. We think we got them. Nobody that has been in that situation goes, man, I hope they don't talk. I hope nobody breaks here. Nobody ever goes, yeah, there's a code though. No. When it affects you, you want justice. And so for David Ortiz, he doesn't care because he wasn't beaten. And so he goes back to the old idiotic baseball unwritten rule stuff. In the NBA last night, the Philadelphia 76ers get an overtime victory over the Brooklyn Nets. And lo and behold, the Joel Embiid is doing the Joel Embiid things with a monster 39-point, 16-rebound performance in which he claimed he was the best player in the world.
Fox down to 8, guarded tightly near the midcourt line with 5 seconds to go. What a tie game. Takes it left, kick it over to Chandler, bumps inside, rejected by Embiid, and the game ends. Regulation ends. We'll go to overtime in Philadelphia.
Having fun means a lot of things. This year I have not been smiling as much as the previous years. That doesn't mean that I'm not having fun or anything is not going well. So it's just about, you know, just playing basketball the right way. First part of the season, I was trying to, you know, make sure everybody was comfortable. Kind of took a step back. But, you know, if we got to go somewhere, I got to be one of the guys.
Not surprising that the 76ers would beat a Kyrie-less Brooklyn Nets team, although they did trail at one point by 20, especially because they're at home. Philly has been amazing, amazing at home. They are 26-2, by far the best record in all of the NBA at home, by far. In the Eastern Conference, the only team that's anywhere even close to 26-2 are the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. Milwaukee's 25-3, Miami's 22-3. But to be 26-2 at home says that the 76ers have the type of talent needed to make a deep run. And of course, we knew this coming into the season. They were one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. What Joel Embiid said right there is absolutely true. For them to go where they want to go, he's got to be one of the guys. But we need to amend that. He doesn't need to be one of the guys. He needs to be the guy. And the problem with Joel Embiid is he has incredible physical talents and is a true big man in a non-big man league. If Joel Embiid ever decided, you know what, I'm taking over every night. I am playing to the wall every single night. This is my league, my team, my court. The 76ers would be one of the most difficult matchups of any team in all of basketball. It would be a Milwaukee Bucks-esque situation where you try to figure out how the hell are we going to slow down Giannis in a different way, but it would be the same problem because nobody has the size to consistently slow him down. There isn't another great big man in the league. It's a little bit like Shaq. In that when Shaq comes into the league in 1991, 1992, 1993, there are great centers, but nobody quite has the combination of size, height, and weight and power that Shaq does. Shaq was a physical mismatch every possession of his entire career until basically his body was eroding in the final 5 seasons, let's say, of his career. This is what Kobe knew. Kobe knew, Shaq, you're bigger and more powerful and more agile as a big man than any other big man ever. You have a mismatch every single time we have the basketball. If you just clicked into a full gear, if you were engaged and focused and locked in like I am, you would be completely unstoppable. And the fact that we saw Shaq at times unstoppable showed us the potential of when he was engaged, when he was focused, when he was the alpha male, it was 3 championships in a row. It was impossible to defend. Joel Embiid might not have the physical power that Shaq does, but he creates the same type of mismatch in this league. Nobody is big and strong and agile and talented and gifted the same way in that position that Joel Embiid is. It doesn't exist anymore. The big men in the NBA are all spread out around the perimeter. They run the floor like point guards, and they play more like power forwards than they do true centers.
Embiid can play like a true center. He can. Now, he's incredibly nimble. He's agile. He's athletic. And so that makes him, you know, kind of perfect for the modern NBA. But if there was the Joel Embiid, screw everybody, I'm going to dominate, there's just nobody else in the league that can match up with him for 30 to 40 minutes a game. This is the game plan. This is the elixir. This is the recipe if the Sixers can do something. Joel Embiid, this team might not like one another. I don't think this team loves its coach. I don't think this team loves playing with one another. They're still trying to figure that part out. Where does Horford go? When does Ben Simmons take over? When does Ben Simmons shoot? When does Joel Embiid take over? How do Simmons and Embiid work together? What works, what doesn't? They don't know that. But if Joel Embiid ever said, you know what? That's it. I'm just going into screw you mode. Last night happens. And last night would happen a lot. 39-16 would happen a lot. He has that type of potential. You know, Joel Embiid has a motivation problem. Joel Embiid has had a weight problem. Joel Embiid has had a next gear problem. And I think part of that is he's a really likable guy. He's got a likable personality. He does not have an FU personality. It's not kind of in his DNA. So he's gregarious. He's fun-loving. He likes to be kind of a clownish type of guy. I think he's kind of emotionally a little immature. But if he ever got to angry Joel Embiid and said, I really don't care about Ben Simmons, and I really don't care about Al Horford, I really don't care about how we fit here, and I'm locked in every single night, and you don't have to worry about me in terms of focus and workouts and practice and diet. But last night is what he could be. Which is why, despite having all the foot problems, he was drafted number one overall. You simply could not not take him. You had to, because he could be that last night, 39-16. Against a playoff caliber foe. Granted, the Nets aren't great, but that's who he could be. And, you know, that's, again, that's the elixir for the Sixers, is that, especially on the road, Joel Embiid should just go, you know what, I'm going to play all the road games like my hair is on fire, like this is the last game of the season. And that will, we can figure things out at home. We've proven that. On the road, I'm going ham. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. And our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico, whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Todd is next up in Harrisburg, listening on 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Todd.
Happy Friday, DA. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Back at you. Excited for the weekend. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm here at the laundromat, my least favorite place on planet Earth.
Yeah, laundromat's brutal.
But anyway, after listening to Andrew's news story in the last hour about Dagmar, I was wondering if, God forbid, Sean had to have brain surgery, what would the doctors make him do to prove that he's all right? Would they put a picture of Pat Shurmur in front of him and see his reaction, or put a piece of cake in a salad and make sure he went after the cake? I'm wondering your thoughts.
If you wanted to engage Mraz, I have to imagine this is a really long process, the brain surgery. We had the story last hour in Stunned to a News where there was a woman that had brain surgery, and to make sure her motor skills were functioning correctly and they did not hit the wrong side of the brain, while she was having brain surgery, she played the violin, something that she had been doing since she was 10 years old. An amazing feat of discipline and focus and fearlessness to play the violin while getting hours-long brain surgery. I would imagine that any brain surgery on Mraz, even though we make fun of the size of his brain and the functionality of it, would have to take hours. If you want to engage Mraz for hours, there's only a few options here. Cake in the middle of a salad doesn't do you very good. It gets you like 5 minutes. Maybe because he eats around the salad, eats the cake, and it's done.
You're being generous. I would engulf that in a minute 40.
If you're asking him to maybe pick the chocolate in a Valentine's giant heart like Oliver Luck gave us, again, he's going to be able to. He's kind of a savant of these things. He's going to be able to pick and choose, make maybe a few early mistakes, but he'll be able to figure out the puzzle behind the chocolates probably within 10 to 15 minutes.
That's totally fair.
A Rubik's Cube? Forget it. Mraz will disengage, don't care, throw it across the room, maybe even try to bite into it like a pear.
I've tried. Not worth it. Calories and time.
There's only one thing I could imagine that will really absorb Mraz's attention for hours on end. Watching, rewatching New York Giants games on YouTube that are at least 5 years old. Anything within the last five, you know what he can take or leave, it's got to be outside of 5 years. And if I put you right in the sweet spot of like 2002 to 2005, Mraz will not only sit there and watch an entire game that he's already seen five times and watch it patiently, attentively, and notice new things about it, he will also watch one after another, after another, after another. If you were going through brain surgery and the surgeons came to me and said, what can we do to engage Mraz from a brain standpoint? I would say, put on weeks 13 through 17 in a row, 2005 New York Giants. If you play those on loop in a playlist on YouTube, you'll have them for a good 8 hours.
Yeah, I think you're really hitting the nail on the head there. Specifically, I would say I'm dying for a couple games. I can't find them from the 2000 Giants.
Okay.
Personally, one of my favorite teams. There's a game where Jason Seward's pants fall down versus the Lions that he's trying to cover, and the Jaguars game late that helps him clinch the division. Seahorn again recovers an onside kick. I can't find these games to save my life. If you give me a couple of those good games from the 2000 Giants, forget about it. You'll see my brain firing on all cylinders. I'd take the cake, too, but that wouldn't be necessary for the brain function.
What game in New York Giants history have you seen the most times?
Well, definitely Super Bowl 42. Definitely. I mean, the ins
the
and outs.
The actual broadcast.
The actual broadcast of Super Bowl 42. If you're asking me second most, it would probably be the Giants-Eagles game from 2002, where it was a Saturday afternoon at 4:30 that they needed to win to go on a four-game win streak and get in the playoffs that set up the botched snap 49er playoff game. Sean Williams has the interception. You're thinking they're not going to win in overtime. They're not going to make the playoffs. Unbelievable job there. I mean, right off the bat. I mean, just
and how many times everything. Have you seen Super Bowl 42 in its entirety?
I've seen Super Bowl 42 start to finish. I mean, I'm going to have to take a break, but I'll go back and finish it at least probably 56 times. That's not exactly. I watch it frequently. I probably don't go a month in my life since without having watched Super Bowl 42. You know, a lot of times at the gym, breaking up a couple different cardios, but I would in the 50s for sure.
You have seen the same game 50 to 60 times in its entirety.
It's unbelievable. And Eli's pick in that game should not have happened. Absolute terrible job by Kevin Boss there. Tip ball.
When we come back, Solomon Wilcott, Pro Football Focus on this year's offseason quarterback class. How do they look from an advanced analytics standpoint? TA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
It's the great Phil Simms, Super Bowl champion and NFL analyst, of course.
I'm happy to be part of the NFL. I love the game. I love watching all the games. Of course, I can't predict games worth a crap, but I can tell you something about
them. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, you can listen to us on SiriusXM Channel 206. And you can check us out as well online by watching us at watchda.com or streaming us. Use the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, or Apple Music. Our next guest is our good friend from Pro Football Focus, former veteran defensive back in the NFL as well. Solomon Wilcott joining us this morning. Solomon, good morning, my friend.
DA, good morning to you. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, Tom Brady and where he goes feels like the first domino when it comes to the potential offseason of quarterback carousel. When you look at his numbers and his stats, do you worry that in his season at age number 43, that he will continue to be less effective?
I think, you know, I don't worry about Tom Brady because I still believe he's good enough to win championships. I still believe he's good enough to dice up any defense that you can throw at him because his mental Rolodex is so vast. However, what the numbers showed last year, now some of this could be based on some of the players that were around him, the receivers, but the numbers had shown that he wasn't as good against pressure defenses. Now, this is something where he really has set himself apart from other quarterbacks throughout the tenure of his entire career. The last year, those numbers declined. Now, some of that has to be credited to receivers who aren't getting open fast enough, who aren't sight adjusting and reading the same blitz pressures that he's reading. That's why you saw the frustration there. So he's going to need to be in an offense, whether he goes back to the Patriots or not, where he's surrounded by talent who can play up to his level. Because he could still be the same guy, but if not surrounded by that talent, I think some of the struggles will continue.
You know, one of the after effects of Drew Brees returning is what happens to Teddy Bridgewater. If we assume that Bridgewater moves on from the Saints, do you think that Bridgewater, what he showed last year when Brees was out, would be enough of a sample size for a team to go out and say, you know what, he can be our franchise quarterback, we'll give him the money that he's looking for?
I think the answer is yes. But it also has to include, I think, and this can be said with every single quarterback that's on that free agent list. Each quarterback comes with a unique skill set, with things that they do well and maybe things that they don't do quite so well. And what we're finding is that quarterbacks need a system to play in, and that they tend to function better when the system sort of is tailored to what they do best. So in other words, if you're going to get Teddy Bridgewater and think you're going to run, you know, RPOs and where he's got to move around a lot and be more athletic, that's not going to be a good system for him. What you saw last year was the Saints had the 31st ranked average depth of target, okay, in terms of ball going down the field, 31st of any offense in the NFL. Now, those numbers are very similar with Drew Brees. And no one's asking, can he still go deep? This offense was a ball-controlled offense, whether it had Teddy or Drew Brees in it. And I think if you're going to bring in Teddy, I think you got to look to do some similar things that Sean Payton did with Teddy when he went 5-0 in 2019 and look to play the same kind of offense.
Solomon Wilcots joins us this morning here on the show from Pro Football Focus. A lot of people saying that even though the Buccaneers might need a quarterback if they move on from Jameis Winston, a guy like Bridgewater doesn't make any sense because he can't throw the deep ball. Maybe a guy like Tom Brady at his age doesn't make sense because Bruce Arians wants to throw the deep ball as well. Do you abide by that, or do you think that's overblown?
No, I think both guys can throw the deep ball. I think they have thrived in systems recently anyway where the ball is coming out quick, where the ball is going to tight end over the middle, back coming out, set down. And you'd be the same way if you had a Mike Thomas that's more of a possession receiver more than a stretch down the field receiver. You'd be the same way if you had an Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield, or James White, right, coming out of the backfield, or Julian Edelman. So those systems were designed that way because of the players that were surrounding the quarterback. So it remains to be seen if these guys can be more consistent stretching the field, because it's not something that they've been asked to do recently. And so I think it's a good question, but I would stop short of saying they can't do it. I would say we just have not seen that from them as of late.
We had Peter King on the show yesterday. He thought that Andy Dalton would actually make a good Patriot. He thought there was a lot of the qualities of him as a quarterback and from a personality that would make him fit in well with the quote-unquote Patriot way in Belichick. Could you see that fit?
I can tell you right now, I've been an Andy Dalton fan for a long time, and I just think he's been, you know, sort of passed unfairly from a national perspective. And I go back to when he came into the league in 2011. There was a lockout, D.A. He came from TCU, a guy that had won over 40 games at a program that wasn't used to winning, but they won when he was there. And he won over 10 games a year every year, and was a starter from his freshman year to his final year, and came here into Cincinnati with very little time to understand and grasp the playbook. He came in short order. He learned the playbook. Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator then. All he did from his rookie season through his fifth year
has led the Bengals to the postseason each of his first 5 years as a player in the NFL, from his rookie season through his fifth season. And for whatever reason, people just did not, you know, grab hold of what he was able to accomplish so early in his career. And, I think Bill Belichick recognized the football IQ, ball control, quick release, understanding defenses, keeping the ball out of harm's way, and allowing things to work well around him. And I think that's what he's looking for. I think another quarterback that would sit well with the Patriots is Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill can throw the deep ball. He's good coming off of play action fake. And he is a guy that will function within the system and not necessarily look for gaudy numbers or look for it to be all about him. Because I think that's what Belichick really values in a quarterback, is a guy that is going to run the offense the way that we've worked on it, the way that we studied it, and allow the components around you to work well for the offense.
Solomon Wilcott's Pro Football Focus joins us this morning on the show. Last time that we spoke, I asked you about Joe Burrow, and you're a former Bengal, you know Cincinnati well, and ProFootballTalk.com had picked up part of your quote, and they kind of made it seem like you were siding with Carson Palmer, that it was buyer beware, that Joe Burrow shouldn't want to go play for the Bengals. I think that was taken out of context because you had other thoughts about Joe Burrow and that whole conversation, and you kind of talked about that on Twitter as well. Where do you want to clarify your thoughts on Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals' potential draft of him?
Yeah, and I could have been more clear because, you know, you asked me several questions, and I was very supportive in Carson from this perspective. And I said that I saw the life sucked out of him, but I saw that because of things that happened off the field, not because of things that happened with the football team. I thought the team was very supportive of Carson Palmer. There's no doubt the Cincinnati Bengals want to win a Super Bowl. Okay, you go back to the last decade, the Bengals, they went to the postseason 5 of the last 10 years. We can find other teams that have been absent from the postseason much more than the Bengals have in recent history. But so I was supportive of Carson because when fans go to his home and violate his property and make his wife and children feel unsafe, you and I know that's crossing the line. That's going above, crossing that line into becoming very creepy. And that affected him. And I think that was a tipping point for him. And I want to see fans be more supportive. I wanted to see them supportive of Carson Palmer. I wanted to see them support Andy Dalton better, where they cheered and criticized him and booed him at a charity softball game. There's a guy giving up his own free time to support a community function to raise funds for the community, and the community bulls him because they don't know how to separate how they feel about him as a quarterback from what he's doing in his private time to raise money to help charitable causes. So I want to see the community and the fans be more supportive, and I want to see them support Joe Burrow more than they did the last two quarterbacks who were here. Joe Burrow has never said he doesn't want to be a Bengal. I think he does. And I know the team wants him. I think the team would love to have him. I can't speak for the Bengals in that sense, but he put forth the best college football season we've seen from a college quarterback in recent history. So I think the two would be a great marriage, but I want to see the fans be more supportive of Joe Burrow than they were of Carson Palmer and than they were of Andy Dalton.
That's interesting. I don't think a lot of people around the country think of Cincinnati as a really difficult place to play, not on the par with some of the other big cities like a Philadelphia, like a Boston. Is there something unique about Cincinnati that people don't really realize about the difficulty of trying to play quarterback there?
No, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what has caused the fans to maybe not fully embrace Carson Palmer or not fully embrace Andy Dalton. Yeah, I just spoke to you about how quickly Andy Dalton, how his career was a tremendous success, particularly in the beginning. In those first 5 seasons, he had A.J. Green. They came in the same draft class. The Bengals have drafted very well during those years of 2011, 2012. I thought in 2015, they had one of the best rosters in the National Football League. That was the season where Dalton gets hurt and you know, they have to play with a backup quarterback, and they lose to the Steelers in the playoffs. And from then on, it's kind of been a little bit difficult where they've had some hit and misses on the offensive line. But, you know, I thought Carson Palmer was as talented. This is with all due respect to Kenny Anderson and my former quarterback with the Bengals and Boomer Esiason. Both were league MVPs, by the way. But Carson Palmer was as talented as any quarterback the Bengals have ever had. And Andy Dalton statistically has performed better than any Cincinnati Bengal quarterback that has ever played. In terms of wins, in terms of passing yards, you look at the record books, he's taken up the five straight postseasons. No quarterback had ever done that. So, yeah, I think they could have been treated better. And I just think it needs to be called out much in the same way that when Sam White says, hey, you live in Cincinnati, what he was saying is, we're better than that. Okay? So maybe they needed a reminder then when he said it, because I was playing in a game that day when he did that. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm really calling for Bengals fans to be more supportive. If Joe Burrow is going to come here and play, let's do a better job of supporting him than we did with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton.
You live in Cincinnati. You don't live in Cleveland. Ah! One of the great moments in NFL history. Check out Pro Football Focus, PFF, for the latest on analytics. If you're an armchair GM, if you got your fantasy draft that you want to prepare for months in advance, looking at the draft, it's all right there. Pro Football Focus, Solomon Wilcots from PFF joining us here on the show. It's always fun to catch up, my man. Thanks so much for doing it for us today.
Great work, DA. Take care. All the best to you.
You too. Solomon Wilcots this morning here on the show. When we come back, we're going to have a little Target Demo Friday action, which we're very excited about. Target Demo Friday, where we will hear from you guys what you got going on as you listen to the show and where you're at and how you're listening. Now, Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. Another regular season game, more playoff teams, even fewer padded practices, and more benefits for retired players. Those some of the headlines from a new NFL CBA that owners approved yesterday. Team union reps will discuss the deal via conference call today. They could eventually take a vote as well, needing two-thirds approval to pass the deal on to all players. The key sticking point is that 17-game regular season. Veteran defensive back Chris Harris Jr. told Tiki Andrew Tierney yesterday that he could handle the increase.
Me, personally, I could do another game, you know, so, but I got to talk to some of the linemen and O-linemen. They're like, no, we absolutely cannot have it.
An expanded regular season would not happen until at least 2021. The NBA returned from its All-Star break with six games last night. One huge game from Trae Young.
Now Trae Young way out there with it, starts to drive. Trae gets fouled as he goes up, and good! Count the basket, and a foul on the play, and Trae Young just did it again, folks! He's going to have a chance to tie the game at the free throw line. He's got 46 points.
Steve Holman on Hawks Radio. Young finished with a career-high 50. Atlanta finished with a 129-124 win over the Heat. The Bucks blew out the Pistons, 126-106. The Sixers rallied to beat the Nets in OT, 112-104. And the Rockets hit 25 threes in a 135-105 W at Golden State. Russell Westbrook tossed in the fourth for his second technical, which came after exchanging a shove and some words with several Warriors.
I got to do a better job of holding myself accountable to a very, very high standard. And I'll make sure I leave no room for error to allow somebody and people to paint me out to be a guy that I'm not.
Now, back in hour number one, I said Westbrook was kind of the victim in this scenario. Then I saw a different angle of how this all started, and it may have begun with him giving a little punch to the gut, I think, of Damian Lee, which is what got him the technical foul. So a lot of it after that was him getting reacted to by the Warriors, but none of it would have happened, I think, had he not given the little nudge in the midsection to Damian Lee. So again, Russ is certainly not innocent in all this.
And Russ has a good copping to responsibility there. It would be nice if the Astros would have done that. Hey, mm-hmm. I've got to be better, hold myself to a higher standard, etc. But when you are a T or two away from having a suspension because you have so many accumulated over the season, you can't really be the victim of a quick whistle.
Second-ranked Gonzaga scored 49 second-half points to beat San Francisco 71-54, pushing its win streak to 19. Nobody wants the Colorado football job. Chiefs OC Eric Bieniemy staying put, as is Alabama OC Steve Sarkisian. He's now expected to get a raise, making him one of the highest paid assistants in the country. Yankees righty Luis Severino still dealing with right forearm tightness despite two clean MRIs and one clean CT scan this winter. He is seeing team doctors again today, and the Nevada State Athletic Commission playing it safe. There will be no face-to-face stare down with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury after their weigh-in later today because they nearly brawled at a press conference earlier this week.
Now, has that ever happened before, two boxers before a big fight?
I don't think so. So they don't want to break that history. Yeah. They don't want to be the first to throw chairs and fight before a fight.
When we come back, Target Demo Friday, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I'm actually in some hot water with my girlfriend right now because of your show. She asked me how I'm doing at work. I respond, a little wet, a little drippy. I'm doing nothing but speaking in your show drops, and it is actually causing me problems in my personal life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Believe me, it happens. I've seen it happen before. All of our lives are touched in peculiar, curious ways because of all the bizarre drops around here.
Come on, Damon. Wake up. Itchy nipple chub, bro. That's very good, Damon.
What you think about that, DA?
I think it's amazing, and I appreciate you being with us here on the show. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
How are you?
Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy.
The one that looks like you, but yeah, a little off?
Yeah, Pete, yeah.
Yo, what you doing? I don't know what you doing. All I know, bruh.
It's time for your Target Demo Friday, boys and girls. What are you doing as you listen to the show?
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Jeez, we've been on the air for nearly 2 months now in this new time slot, and nobody has noticed that it says three-hour black hole block party in the Target Demo Friday open. Even the listeners, you guys usually catch this stuff. Hank on Facebook writes, listening on 93.1 The Ticket in Middletown or Middleton, Idaho, on my way to work. Hashtag go Renegades. Hashtag grew up in Dutchess County. Well done. My neck of the woods where I grew up in the Hudson Valley of New York. Edward tweets, I'm on Sirius XM 206 driving to Detroit. Pizzapopolis in Greektown tonight. Then with my cousin and friends tomorrow for the Mid-Michigan Boat Show. Off 2 weeks before starting a great lucrative job. It's about the money, D.A.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y, D.A.
Michael on Facebook writes, I'm listening on the CBS Sports app while delivering medical gases in the great state of Michigan as well. Going to be celebrating my daughter's fourth birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Abby. Daddy loves you. Can we get a beam up? Zachary's in San Fran. Wrenching up decommissioned well pumps. Listening on radio.com.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Tim's in Idaho. He's on the radio, CBS Sports, delivering nuclear medicine. Thanks for helping me stay awake.
Come on, Damien. Wake up.
Juan says, beam me up, DA. Listening from my office in Milwaukee via Sirius XM 206 this weekend. Gotta have some good burger.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Brandon's driving around in his car, CBS Sports Radio in Youngstown, Ohio.
All right.
On Twitter, you can get at us, DA on CBS. Reed tweets, I'm in Paducah, Kentucky, listening to the full four-hour podcast later, ignoring the condensed version. This weekend, the family is going to be attending a fundraiser in the area's Community Kitchen Empty Bowls Project. Very cool.
All right.
Rob the 321, top of the morning, listening on the 1560 The Fan, getting through the workday and looking forward to a special date with my 7-year-old. Head to do daddy-daughter dance night.
All right.
Nate tweets, I'm in Boise, heading to work, listening to Dave Matthews Band. So you set up that perfect with this picture when it comes to Bogus's vacation from earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
His 40th, he went to Cancun to go watch Dave Matthews and trade bracelets with other couples and have Fresca vodkas. Big weekend for Bogues. Kevin's on radio.com in Auburn, Maine, working from home and noting the quote of the week from Bogus to Mraz, quote, your opinions on everything mean nothing.
Oh, okay.
Adrian is looking forward to keeping up or catching up on the week's shows over the weekend using radio.com and the app. Hoping to hear Torg Bellinger come back for round two of March Madness this year. Hashtag Lemonsist.
Oh, valid point.
Sanchez Blue, this is Bear Boxing Mail and listening to you guys on the radio at the Five Points Post Office in Corpus Christi. Go Bad Boys Astros and the Las Vegas Raiders.
You are a machine of death.
Spider Donkey tweets, he's Bill's Mafia. Radio.com. Rowing machine, hashtag target demo Friday.
Now, wait a minute.
Ryan's at work this Friday morning. Listen to y'all also from Corpus Christi, Texas.
All right.
Aaron tweets, I'm listening on radio.com, getting ready to deliver a jockalone of Girl Scout cookies this weekend so that my daughter can get a little iron on her cookie patch. Where's my patch?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Alien OG tweets, morning DA in lovely Lawrence, Kansas, listening on the CBS Sports app. I'm printing labels for Boulevard Brewing's next yet to be released beer. Need some? I know you guys love Boulevard. I got you, dog.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Ooh, baby. If I could start off my weekend with a Boulevard wheat right now, ice cold, and maybe a little barbecue from Jack Stack or Oklahoma Joe's or Q39, I'd be doing very, very well. That's a good start to a weekend. Thanks, everybody, for a Target Demo Friday. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And stunned to a news was the story of a woman who had brain surgery and was playing the violin during the brain surgery.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Forget tough guys and snitches and all this stupid alpha male machismo testosterone nonsense. That is one of the toughest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, obviously, she's feeling nothing, but I don't know how she's awake, well, but also numb to her head being opened.
Put some whipped cream on my head and run around like a dum-dum.
I'm always amazed, too, and think of the person whose idea it was originally. Like, you know what we should do while I have Nancy's head open? I should wake her up and see if she can talk still. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Doc. Let's do that.
And how many mistaken brain surgeries were there in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s?
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed. Well,
to get to the point where
they're just yanking chunks out, thinking that was the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And where we finally got to a point where you know to the width of a credit card where the line is that you need to work on.
Yeah, apparently they went hours and hours before the surgery of her playing the violin, tracking her brain.
Oh my goodness.
To see where where everything was lighting up and activating so they knew where they could go and not go.
Give the doctors credit here too, because there's nothing worse than listening to a violin for more than 3 minutes and they had to go hours listening to this lady play the violin. And look, I'm sure she's great for
Here's
violin.
Another cultured point from Sean.
No, because there is nothing worse than having to go to your kid or somebody's kids. The orchestra concert.
She's been playing since she was 10. Connor, she's not an 8-year-old stumbling through the recorder at school.
No.
I'd also like you to mark that tape, because when Taylor is 10 years old and he's got to go to something, I want to play that on the air.
Daddy's always happy.
She ain't playing the cello, the violin, the violet, or whatever the other string ornaments.
Not with you as her dad.
No, ornaments? Absolutely not. She wants to play the trumpet, she can play the trumpet. She's not playing a string instrument. And look, I think there's a lot of people that are great at the violin. I'm just saying, you can't listen to a violin for more than 3 minutes, you go crazy. You feel like you're on the Titanic.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Huh. Our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. DA, do you think that Big Poppy regrets what he said? That is from Jim in Massachusetts. I do not. I think Big Poppy has been applauded for his entire career for being a character, being a great talker, being a friendly personality, and I think that he is just used to everybody loving on him all the time, so he feels insulated from all of it, and I think this will be the same type of thing. Jonathan tweets, beam me up, DA. Listing on radio.com from Norco, California. After working 12 years, today is my last day working the night shift. Going to catch the podcast from now on. Keep up the good work and rock on. Hashtag Chubbo, hashtag Clubhouse Leader.
Puffiness with sodium.
Hey, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel. Great job today. Also, audio director filling in admirably for Pete the Body Bilotti, who's back next week. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on headlines. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Have a great weekend. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time sharp. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.